This is Daniel Dickinson at UN News. Some were workers, some teachers, and some were neighbours. Many ordinary people enabled the Holocaust simply by doing their jobs. Some made the choice to help, while others decided to join in with the persecution, betraying Jewish friends and classmates. But what fueled the Holocaust was anti-Semitism, which didn't end with the defeat of the Nazis and continues today, affecting all of society. That's according to Tad Stanke. He's the William and Sheila Konar Director of International Educational Outreach, which is part of the William Levine Family Institute for Holocaust Education at the US Holocaust Memorial Museum. He was at United Nations headquarters in New York for Holocaust Remembrance Week and spoke to UN News' Anna Carmo. Mr. Stanke began by talking about the Memorial Museum's exhibition, Some Were Neighbours, which examines the role of ordinary people in the Holocaust and the variety of motives that influenced individual choices.
What we're very pleased to present here at the UN headquarters, our traveling exhibition called Summer Neighbors, Choice, Human Behavior, and the Holocaust, which tells the story of ordinary people and the role that they played, because after all, they played an essential role, which is not often understood. And part of the reason why we created the exhibit was because people often think that the Holocaust was perpetrated only by Adolf Hitler and a small group of Nazi leaders. And we think it's important for people to understand that that wasn't the case, that they needed, as authoritarian dictators do often, the acquiescence and complicity of ordinary people in order to achieve their genocidal goals.
So what was the base on the choice that made some people decide to help the Germans or to help the Jews? What was the base of that choice, of that personal choice?
Well, what we found with recent scholarship is that there were a variety of pressures and motivations for people to act in the way they did. And they acted in all different ways. Some people helped Jews, responding with a seeming human response. How could I just stand by and do nothing when my friend or my neighbor's been treated this way? But many people benefited or helped the authorities find Jews, or benefited financially from the disposition of confiscated Jewish property. Often people did nothing. And the motivations that we see include some very mundane things, like wanting to get ahead in your career. It sometimes would be a wise career move to help the authorities. Or financial gain. After all, in wartime, it was difficult to obtain some of these consumer goods that could be bought at auction after the property of the Jews were confiscated. Or fear sometimes as well. So it was a variety of different motivations, and people acted differently in Germany and throughout Nazi-occupied Europe.
What about the other side? What would make people actually help or hide people in their houses, support them, or even embrace them on the streets? There was this panel that really touched me of someone who actually came down to say goodbye to this woman. I mean, those are small gestures that
yes.
could make some difference.
Yes, and when you talk to survivors of the Holocaust, often those moments of human connection and kindness from a stranger stay with them very, very deeply. And people today, 75 years later, can recount them in great detail. Well, regarding the motivations, the many people who helped, when they talk about it, and they don't often do necessarily, some feel as though it was the least that they could do. So they're not making a big deal about what they've done. But others are speaking about feeling this connection, a human connection, whether it was someone who had been their neighbor, had been their friend, had been someone who they knew in their neighborhood, that they felt that the least that they could do was to show some act of kindness, even if it was out of step with what was expected of them.
This idea of social consent and protection of the acts that people were doing to the Jews, can you talk a little bit about that and how it can relate to today's world and societies?
Well, the history of the Holocaust is a challenge for everyone today. It wasn't inevitable. It required the cooperation of many people, and the Nazis didn't need ordinary Germans to murder Jews, but they did need them to sort of step aside and let the state take care of that quote-unquote problem. So here's where this sort of social consent comes in. And the exhibit reminds us that people, individuals, always have more agency, more ability to act on their own, either for good or for ill, than we often think. And the stories we try to tell are the stories of individuals and the choices that they've made to help remind people, especially young people today, that the choices you make are important and have ramifications. And we encourage everyone to think about that when they think about how their neighbors today are being treated.
So the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum teaches also that the Holocaust was preventable. Can you speak on the importance of combating anti-Semitism in our society today and which kind of tools the museum provides for that?
Well, anti-Semitism fueled the Holocaust, and it didn't end with the defeat of the Nazis. And it's shown that it continues in many virulent ways, even after the Holocaust, in the form of Holocaust denial, for example. So, and it remains a problem of society as a whole, and not just one that merely affects Jews, as difficult as it is for Jews today, and anti-Semitism is growing throughout the world. For our museum, it's important to teach history, and the Secretary General said it on Monday, never again. It means teaching history again and again and again. And we believe that making accurate and relevant history for young people today will help people understand about the power, enduring power of anti-Semitism, but also about the viral nature of hatred and the use of dehumanization and stereotypes and prejudices, which are more everyday things, and the importance of being vigilant, because the Holocaust reminds us that the unthinkable is possible. All of us today need to think about the dehumanization, prejudice, stereotypes, hatred that might be present in our environment. The museum, in addition to exhibits, works a lot with teachers, for example, developing lesson plans for students about anti-Semitism, about the enduring attraction of Nazi racial ideology, Nazi symbols, and unfortunately, we're seeing these symbols more and more every day in contemporary life coming back.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Only that we're very pleased to be working with the United Nations and the Holocaust in the United Nations Outreach Program so that our exhibit is not just here in New York, but is also will be available to UN offices around the world. And we encourage people to use it and let us know how that works for them.